It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Some confusion on the text line. Just write this number down. I'll do it real slowly. 913-586-7965. Those texting in asking if this is a new text line, it 100% is. 913-586-7, then the station, 965. That is the Jay Southland Toasters Earth text line and the phone number as well. So most of you had it right. Someone on that text line says nothing better than a quarterback being on a rookie deal and being good. I also think, Rob, there's nothing better than pizza and beer. I was trying to think of what's a better combination because earlier you talked about peanut butter and jelly. I guess steak and beer. But sometimes, you know, it takes a while to cook if you're at home or whatever. It's much easier just ordering it, especially if football on. I have a feeling there will be pizza and beer in my future. We got one more week till high school football starts in Missouri, then Kansas on the 5th. It's the 30th in Missouri. We have week zero in college football, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be pizza and beer involved. I want to talk about Tom Brady identifying the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs, but did want to bring this up. McAfee had this on his show today, talking about Dave Tobe talked about it yesterday, the Chiefs special team coach, about changing the touchback to the 35-yard line because now it's at the 30. And I always thought it with the ridiculous kickoff rules, there's going to be teams not wanting to hurt their kicker because studies have shown your kicker is involved in more tackles with the new kickoff rules. But they're already returning the ball to 27 to 30 anyway on average. So you're giving it to them on a 30. And there's talks that the NFL, when they meet next week, could make a change again. It's like, no, no, no. You've made your choice. This is only for 1 year, this kickoff rule now. But if you're going to change it, you should have done it before preseason. Give it, because teams have to figure out what the hell they're going to do. Are we going to try to kick the ball in the landing zone? Or are we just going to do what we've always done and kick the ball through the end zone, give the team the ball at the 30? I also hate the fact that the onside rule, you can't onside kick unless you notify the other team in the fourth quarter. But no, you keep, and Dave Tobe yesterday when he spoke, thought that they would still keep this rule. They could make a change, but he did believe it'd still stay at 30. Are you just, hey man, just kick it out of the end zone, Harrison? Is that where you stand on this? That's where I stand because I don't want bigger turns on this team.
Unless they change the rule, which they should, the current rule is wrong. I want edits. I want corrections.
But you can't change it now.
Oh, you can absolutely change it now. Change it right now.
You've already had preseason. Teams already acclimated what they're going to do.
And we learned what didn't work. If you want more returns, you want it kicked in the landing zone, make the punishment harsher for a touchback. Because right now, there is absolutely no reason why you shouldn't just be kicking a touchback every time. No, nothing has changed.
I have no problem with them changing that rule, but I don't like them doing it now because preseason is about getting used to rules, getting used to your special team saying, hey, if we kick it to the end zone, get it to 30. So you've already gone through training camp and everything, trying to get everybody acclimated to just taking the ball.
Use the data you've gotten, and you created this new rule with the intent of we're trying to get returns.
And it also changes like Nico Remigio type guys, you know?
People have been practicing all offseason on this landing zone thing. The Chiefs have tried. We've seen other teams try it. And the punishment isn't harsh enough if you don't kick in the landing zone. Getting the ball at the 30, who cares? So, yeah, change the rule tomorrow. Change the rule next Tuesday. You've already practiced it. Like, yeah, it might get a little funky in week one, but I don't like the landing zone rule the way it's currently written. So, yeah, change it up.
And depending who's on returning it, I would just probably just kick it to the end zone, take it 30. It's always what I thought. You have to change to the 35. It kind of changes your personnel as well. We heard Dave Tobe says he's banging the table for Nico Remigio It's, again, these guys that can make the team because they can, quote, return kicks and is part of the landing zone because we're going to see expanded returns, allegedly. We just saw them through the preseason. But by last week, I started seeing a lot of kickers kick it through the end zone, including the Kansas City Chiefs. They're like, you know what? Big returns on us. Harrison just fired away. Just fired away at that point. But Tom Brady did speak, as we mentioned, at Fanatics. But I thought it was interesting when he was asked who he considers the biggest threat to the Chiefs on making that three-peat.
The number one threat to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC is home.
I would say it's, man, all those teams are going to be tough. I think it's still the Bills or the Bengals just because I think the quarterback play.
The Bills and the Bengals more than the Ravens?
They're right up there.
Okay.
But I would say, you know, and they're exceptional. I just, the Ravens have to, I think, be more successful in the postseason for me to feel like, okay, you know, they're right there. The Bengals have made it to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
The Bills have been in championship games.
That's right. He's got a 3-1 record against Patrick Mahomes. Got to give him credit where credit is due. The number one threat to the Chiefs in the entire NFL.
I think it's probably still the 49ers and the Packers, I think, are going to be a great team. And you know what? I think the Rams are going to be a good team this year, too. Very good offense, good receiving core. They've lost Aaron Donald. Nobody can replace him. That guy's first ballot Hall of Famer. But they've drafted really well. They got a really underrated defense. That's going to be a team to watch, too.
So there's Tom Brady, who's going to be in the broadcast booth this year. So obviously he's going to be talking about the teams. The Bills and the Bengals. And I don't care about Josh Allen's record during the regular season. I just know he's 0-2 against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. That's when it really matters. He had a home playoff game against him this past year and couldn't get it done. Bills are an interesting team. Because you look at that division, I'm not buying into Miami and the hype. I think they actually take a step backwards. They got to where they should be taking steps forward, and they didn't. Let Buffalo beat them in Miami last year to end the season. Let the Bills basically be the number two seed because the Bills could have even been out of the playoffs had the Miami Dolphins won, but they ended up being the two seed because they won. The Bills' defense is not going to be as good as it was last year. It was fourth in the NFL in points against. But who's the best teams? I think the team that he kind of glossed over because I think he kind of forgot about them, and I understand what he's saying. You always go with who's got the great quarterback. So everybody makes their top 20 in high school football and everything. Who's the returning quarterback? Who's coming back? That's who gets the nod. Well, in the NFL, yeah, Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, you believe in those guys as quarterbacks, they're going to get the job done. Well, Lamar Jackson, again, he's got one playoff win, but he is a two-time NFL MVP. And two-time NFL MVP, it's not like he's any slouch at the quarterback position. And the Ravens last year, both offensively and defensively, one of the best teams in the NFL. I get it. Postseason's been a drag on them, but they do have a head coach who's won a ring. John Harbaugh's won. And now you add Derrick Henry to the equation. It's no great shakes, but still one of the NFL's leading rushers. And that's a dominant ground game. I would still put the Ravens on that top line. And the Bengals, they don't have Ja'Marr Chase. Now, granted, do I think they're going to sign him? I hope they do. Kind of. Does he deserve $40 million? No. Will he get it? Maybe. But the Bengals, they'd be out of money if they gave him money because they're already paying Joe Burrow the bag. So he'd be paying two guys there and everything else would take a step back. So I'm like, go ahead and go for it. Do it, Cincinnati. See where that puts you. But I put the Ravens, and I can't believe I'm doing this. I have an up-and-coming team that I'm putting on tier two. Tier one, to me, is only the Ravens and the Chiefs. Chiefs and Ravens in that order. Tier two, I have the Texans, then the Bills, and then the Bengals. That's my tier two. But tier one, Rob, is Chiefs and Ravens. I don't see the Ravens. They killed it last year. I think they'll be a good team this year. I'm not going to bet against them, especially in the regular season. But I do believe in the Texans. I know this is crazy because we saw Blake Bortles take the Jaguars to the AFC title game, then take a step back. They took a step forward 2 years ago. They beat the Chargers in the postseason, took a step back last year, didn't make the playoffs. They're not taking those steps. I think Houston will.
Everyone's high on Houston.
I am though. For some reason, I believe in C.J. Stroud.
I'm not low on Houston. Don't get me wrong. I'm also high on Houston. I think Tom Brady nailed the teams. I don't see the Ravens as a big threat. I feel like the Ravens.
Really?
Too often teams that lose the Super Bowl regress the following year. It it is a trend line in the NFL, and they are playing in the toughest division in football. So I think they are going to see a regression. But Joe Burrow has beaten Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen has gone toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes every time. Yes, he's come up short, but Peyton Manning eventually got over the Tom Brady hump. It happens. Josh Allen is too good of a quarterback. I have him in the conversation. I think until I see the Texans win, like, beat one of these type of teams. They beat the Joe Flacco Browns last year in the postseason. Ho-hum.
They were red hot. It was comeback player of the year.
Until I see them beat one of, like, those guys, because they got throttled by the Ravens. Until I see CJ Stroud beat one of those type of teams, I'm not putting him in the threat to the Chiefs category yet. I think they are a very good team, and we will find out during the regular season. They play the Chiefs this year. I want to see them beat some of those big dog type teams, but right now, the Texans are a team that feasted on lower teams.
Yeah, I believe in them because I had that division. I think they'll run away with the division. I do like the offseason additions they made. I like that defense. DeMeco Ryan's coached defense. Matter of fact, I think Frisco took a step backwards with not having him there as defensive coordinator. But I'm buying the Texans, and I'm careful about that because you want to see teams take steps. Can they take that next step? And I think they can. By the way, I shorted Lamar Jackson. He's actually 2-4 in the postseason because I forgot he won that game against those Houston Texans, 34-10, before playing the Kansas City Chiefs, losing 17-10. But we are talking about a multiple MVP that he's gotten, and he's fun to watch. I just look at Baltimore. I think they're fundamentally better on both sides of the ball. And again, we're talking greatest quarterbacks in the AFC. Yeah, Mahomes I have, wide gap, I have Burrow and Allen, and there's top three. But do I think Lamar Jackson is very far behind him? No. He's won MVP a couple times. So I see that happening as well. It's interesting, though. It's interesting. 913-586-7965. Who do you consider the top team? Because it'll change. Last year, I went in the year thinking it was the Bills and Bengals and Chiefs. You know, Burrow got hurt. Everything changed for the Bengals. The Bills were weird. They would look really good, like world beaters, and take steps back. And they'd look good. And then they played the Chiefs with a bye week before and barely won and wouldn't have won had Kadarius Toney not been offsides. Matter of fact, the Chiefs should have had two more wins last year without Kadarius Toney, and they would have got the home field game at Arrowhead instead of being in Baltimore because they would have tied them but had a better AFC record. So send in who you think is the biggest threat for the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up next, though, there's a flag football quarterback out there that won recently the gold, thinks he's better than Mahomes. Next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, Carrington back on Monday. From the 660, I think CJ sophomore slumps CJ Stroud. The Diggs edition will be a non-factor. I think it's just the Ravens and the Bengals. You buy in the second year? I will say this with DeMeco Ryans, defensive coordinator. You've got nice bookends, man. Will Anderson, the rookie last year from Alabama, 7.5 sacks. Danielle Hunter, that's there now, that had 16.5 sacks last year with the Vikings. Tank Dell, Nico Collins on offensive wide receiver. Joe Mixon in the backfield for him now. I'm buying him, Rob. Maybe I'm crazy, but I'm buying them.
I mean, I'm a Texans believer. I just don't. I don't have them in the threat to the Chiefs category yet because I want to see more before I'm like, oh, they're a problem. I think they're going to be a playoff team. I think they're going to win their division. I think they have a chance to be a real problem. But
and they won a playoff game. Can they take the next step?
Correct. And we've seen usually what happens is if you have that guy at quarterback, you take the next step. I mean, let's take the Chiefs out of the equation because their next step was the Super Bowl. But Josh Allen, first-round exit on the road, and then he took the next step. They're in the AFC title game the next year. Joe Burrow, he went from injured to, okay, then he came back. He looked like a world beater. They went to the Super Bowl. Like, Joe Burrow looked like one of those guys. Lamar Jackson is yet to take, like, he took the next step. Like, he came in, remember his rookie year, they tried to have Flacco in front of him. He came in, lost playoff game in the first round. Next year, they were 15-1. Like, the quarterbacks we look at and go, wow, all take the next step, but we've also seen quarterbacks that have wow rookie years not take the next step. So let's just see before we make sweeping statements is my big take.
Are you buying in the Colts at all?
Yes, I'm a big Colts believer.
So I am too.
Sean Barber will be on the show in 2 weeks, week of the first Chiefs game, and we will do our yearly prediction segment, and you will be surprised how much I love the Colts.
And as far as going from last to maybe first, my prediction on that would be, well, I think Baltimore's going to do it, but the Bengals could challenge them for it, to go last to first.
That one's
they weren't last.
Yeah, the Bengals seem like the easiest last to first.
They were last, and they have an easy schedule. Bengals' schedule's not tough. Matter of fact, their, quote, 17th game, they play the reciprocal division of the NFC South, and they drew the Carolina Panthers. So that's their extra game where the Chiefs are playing the 49ers. They're playing the Carolina Panthers. Much, much different. But as I said, these teams have been dealing with injuries. We'll see which team can stay the healthiest because that's all that matters. Who's your quarterback going forward? Speaking of quarterback, you ever heard of Daryl Doucette? Legendary Daryl Doucette. He's a quarterback of Team USA.
I've never heard of this man. He played college ball somewhere? Should I know who this guy is?
He's only 5'6".
That's a no.
He's 35 years old.
Okay, no.
He'll be 39 years old when the Olympics hits Los Angeles, but he's 5'6", 140 pounds. His name's Daryl Doucette. He was speaking to DMC Sports, and he said this about NFL guys on the flag football team, including Patrick Mahomes.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's right now the best in the league. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him.
See, now that's the part. He just loses more IQ. Oh, he's got the accuracy and all that. Football IQ, that is what Mahomes is known for. He'll slide down and stay in bounds, keep the clock rolling. His football IQ is better than anybody in the NFL. Now, I will say this, Rob. Do I think that they should at least try out the flag football team? Yes, because flag football, how many times have we seen flag football teams beat NFL teams? You know, like former stars or whatever, in the flag football teams win because they're used to each other. They're accustomed to each other, right? They know where each other's going to be. And I think that does matter. And I think it does matter. But the fact is, there's NFL players that are hungry for a gold medal. They'll get their chance of getting one. And not only that, I think Daryl's not counting the amount of football 7-on-7 these guys play in the NFL. Yeah, it's not flags, but they're touching them. But saying a better football IQ, not buying it. He's elusive. He's 5'6", 140 pounds, little guy running around there. And flag football players, they are good, Rob. Like they have beaten NFL teams before, but those aren't the current NFL stars. Those aren't the current NFL guys going that you're playing against. I just think that Daryl's a little bit too far out there. When he mentions football IQ, he totally lost me, man.
I don't disagree with his notion that it's possible he's a better flag football player than Mahomes because flag football is a different sport.
It's a different animal.
It's just different. I'm not saying USA will struggle or that USA shouldn't take NFL players. I'm not saying those things, but I could see how if you said Daryl Doucette and Patrick Mahomes both starting a flag football game tomorrow, there might be a little bit of a learning curve for Patrick Mahomes. But I have no doubt he would pick it up pretty quick, and the minute he picked it up, he's better than Daryl Doucette.
And that, the one thing is, you hit the screen. Usually your quarterback can scramble a lot. I mean, that's kind of what you need because you're on the run a lot in flag football. But saying you have a higher football IQ, not buying that. I mean, just the accuracy, what he has going on, the way he processes the game, much different.
Now, did he mean flag football IQ?
He didn't say that.
He said
football IQ.
If he meant IQ of the flag game, again, possible he's right, but
it's a different game.
Do you want to see the flag football team in the next Olympics take NFL guys, or do you want to see it be like flag football players? Because
whoever's best.
The equivalent is like Team USA for basketball in the last Olympics. The 3-on-3 team was just guys. Like, it was just Jimmer Fredette was the most notable name. I know he played college ball, but yeah, and they were embarrassing. I imagine the next Olympics, they're going to put real NBA players in the 3-on-3 team, and it's going to be game on. That's kind of how I feel about the flag football. Are we going to mess around and have Daryl Doucettes of the world and not get gold in our own sport? That would be nonsensical.
Yeah, should they have the right to try out for? Yeah, sure. Try out for the team. And if you're good enough, you should be on the team. But you kidding me? Taking someone like Justin Jefferson, always that talk, too, about the injuries. You don't want to see the injuries. But if you had like a Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase there at your wide receivers, you know, you had Mahomes back there just airing it out to him all the time, like, that would be tough for any country to beat in flag football. And I get it. Flag football is its own animal. But Daryl Doucette's 5'6". But let's be honest with you. Seen these NFL guys go for gold? Like, Mahomes has his Super Bowl ring. Can you imagine him with the gold medal, too? I'd love to see it. I want to see the NFL players in this. Wish they're playing tackle football, though, not flag football. Because I've seen guys get hurt. Remember Robert Edwards? Remember that name?
Patriots running back.
Yeah, he had 1,000 yards his rookie year.
He was playing beach football, though. That's a little – it was flag football, but they were playing on a beach. It's not the exact same.
At the Pro Bowl.
In Hawaii, I know.
Yeah, and he got hurt. I mean, NFL GMs may not want to see this because of the high-priced quarterbacks.
I mean, seriously, at quarterback, the injury risk seems relatively low.
It does.
Because, like, most injuries at quarterback happen when you get tackled. Like, when was the last time we saw a quarterback scrambling around and just blew out a knee? It can happen, but I feel like if you're going to take NFL players, you should take them at quarterback.
Yeah. So, you know what? Text line says if NFL players want to play flag football, they should at least play for 2 years. Well, I'll remind you, they're playing 7-on-7 a lot. Within training camp, they have a lot of just receivers going against defensive backs. I mean, they do this in the NFL. I'm all for them playing, but you want the other guys to try out? Sure. You take who's better. Honestly, if the flag football team is really that good, some of those guys deserve to be on the team. If they can beat out the NFL challenger, sure. I just think they should take the best of the best and not worry about the rest. Should the other guys be on the team? Sure. But you got to beat out some of the NFL guys, and the NFL guys are pretty damn competitive, and they want to be there and starting to shine. Coming up next, though, go back to the Kansas City Royals about people just stop living and dying by every single game. It's not football.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, Rob Brinton. The Drive, Carrington back on Monday. Going to talk some Kansas City Royals here in a minute. Michael Lorenzen going for the Royals tonight. Here, Josh Vernier at about an hour and 22 minutes. When Vern takes it on pregame show. The one thing I forgot to mention is the news came out earlier. Travis Kelce is going to make a cameo in Happy Gilmore 2. I don't know if you're aware of Happy Gilmore 2 being in production. I'm not a big movie guy. Never have been, but I do like Happy Gilmore. I thought that was actually fun. If it was going to be in a movie, in a sequel especially, I think that'd be the one to be in. Happy Gilmore. I would absolutely love to be in that, but then Kelsey's doing all the acting and things like that he's doing. But Adam Sandler confirmed that Kelce will be in Happy Gilmore number 2. I don't know if you like the show. Don't know if you've seen it. I think it's funny. Adam Sandler, he basically said that Kelsey's in it.
And
there's going to be some cameos in there.
There's going to be a lot of that. Yeah.
I heard, Travis Kelce wants to be part of this.
Yes.
He talked about it.
Travis has been, he mentioned it, and so we have a nice something for Travis. He's going to come by, and he's cool. Very nice guy. You guys would love him in real life. What a big, handsome guy. And
yeah.
Funny and cool as hell.
He's a stud.
He's a stud, and he's so funny. And
So there's Travis. He's going to be in Happy Gilmore, too. Rob, I know you like movies. I know you and Carrington talk about movies or bad movies. Were you a fan of Happy Gilmore 1?
Yes.
I absolutely loved it.
Happy Gilmore 1 might be Adam Sandler's best movie.
I absolutely loved Happy. Are you going to watch 2? Are you like, this must see the theater for you?
I'll watch 2. But man, when was the last time one of these sequels to like an all-time classic comedy hit? Like let's go through them. Like,
I think Top Gun Maverick.
That's not a comedy though, Bink.
No, it's not a comedy.
When was the last time a comedy sequel hit?
Comedy.
Like Anchorman 2, not as good.
Christmas Vacation, I think, was better than the other vacations.
That's been 40 years since that came out.
It's still okay. 1989. It's still a comedy though.
35 years. Like Anchorman 2, not as good.
Not as good.
Coming to America 2, not as good. Dumb and Dumber 2, not as good. Like, if we name a classic comedy, the sequel almost always falls short. I mean, I'll watch it, but I'm scared of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has a chance to be very good. I don't know. I mean, and again, I know it's not a comedy, but Top Gun Maverick, certainly, you're like wanting more of that. I think it was just as good as one. You know what, Rob? I had a stance on not going to movies. You know this very well because I just don't go to them very often. I did go see Top Gun 2 Maverick in the theaters. You know what I saw at the theater? Believe it or not, Twisters. Can you believe I actually went to the movie theater and saw Twisters?
Did you like it?
You know what? Yeah. Spoiler alert, involves tornadoes.
That is a spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Good looking out.
Yeah. Name Twisted. Have you seen it?
I saw it. We had a listener event. We gave tickets away. So yeah, I saw it with some listeners a little early.
Did you like it?
I did. I enjoyed it. I mean, it's not like the best one I ever saw, but it entertained me for the entire 2 hours.
I thought it was better than the first one. I thought Twisters was better than Twister.
There's a nostalgia to the first one, I think, for me, but I don't think the story was worse.
And again, we're not talking comedy here, but we're talking sequels that are better than the original. I thought this was better than the original. What's better than the original? 2014 Royals or the 2024 Royals? That's the question. I heard Cody Tapp bringing this up, and I can't disagree with him. He was talking about the 2024 team being better than the 2014 team, and that was a damn good team. Matter of fact, they had the same record, 70-56 on August 21st. August 21st, 2014, 70-56. The Royals on August 21st, 70-56. Now, the offense, clearly, I think, is better on this team. Home run production is better. They're still faster, but on that team, Dyson led the way with 36. I think Escobar had 31. Kane had 28. You're going to have three guys over 30 stolen bases this year. Already over that threshold is Michael Garcia, who's at 30. Bobby Witt Jr.'s got 25. And Blanco's got 22. So if we're saying, all right, which team is faster? Well, this team's right up there with them. Three guys over 80 RBI, and two of them are over 90 already. Vinny's number three in Major League Baseball in RBI. So is Bobby Witt. He's got 92. Salvador Perez has 85. They were the first team to have three guys over 70. First MLB team to have three guys over 80. And they will be the first team to have three guys over 90. And then I think they'll be the first team to have three guys over 100 RBI this year. Starting pitching-wise, there were some good pitchers that year. James Shields, obviously, gave you 227 innings. They had 14 wins. Yordano was on that team. You know, Jeremy Guthrie ended up starting game 7-4. He was the only guy with over a 4 ERA on that team. But I'll take Lugo, I'll take Walker, and I'll take Singer. Starting pitching, I would definitely take on this team. The offense, for sure, because there's second best run differential in Major League Baseball, only 5 behind the New York Yankees. The big difference, though, was that bullpen. That bullpen was clearly, clearly better in 2014. HDH, we'll never see that again. They just set the market, set the trend for relief pitchers making the big money. You know, it was 6-inning games. If you had a lead, it was done. Giants knew that. They knew when they had a lead, game 7, they were going mad bum. And he was staying in the rest of the game. And when those doors open and he walks out there, it's like, oh, no. You knew it was going to happen. But if you had me choose which one I like better, and keep in mind, that 2014 was the funnest time I ever had in Kansas City being a sports fan when they made the World Series. But honestly, Bobby Witt Jr., they didn't have a Bobby Witt Jr. on that team. Salvador Perez to me is a better hitter now than he was then. And keep in mind, he's a damn good catcher then. I mean, the guy goes on the next year and wins World Series MVP against the Mets. But for me, Rob, I'm taking the 2024 team, believe it or not. If they had a seven-game series, that's who I'd go with.
I mean, the 2024 Royals offense is just better. The 2024 pitching staff is just better. And listen, run differential isn't the perfect stat. That baseball has so many stats, it's hard to identify one as the perfect stat. But run differential is a good barometer of how a team is actually performing. Like, sometimes you can beat your run differential. There are teams that make the playoffs with bad run differentials. I get it happens. But you look at this time, 2014, the Royals' run differential was plus 30. Nothing to scoff at. That's good. In 2024, the exact same date, it is plus 107. It is 70 runs better this year than it was in 2014. I think people get blinded by how 2014 ended, and it ended great. But at this point in time, the 2024 team is better. That doesn't mean the 2024 team is going to get as hot. 2024 team is going to go to the World Series. I don't know what's going to happen in 2024 team, but I know this. They are a better baseball team because they have the better pitching staff, they have the better offense, the better run differential, and they have the best player on the field, and that's Bobby Witt Jr. This seems like a layup question.
No question about it. Will he finish behind Aaron Judge as MVP? I would vote for Bobby Witt Jr. He's propelling this team. He's going to put this team either division winner or put in playoffs. Juan Soto's one of the best hitters in baseball, and he follows Aaron Judge. I mean, that's a damn good Yankees team. They spent a lot of money. We saw how good the Yankees were when they got here. Lorenzo Cain finished third in the MVP in 15. He's the only player hitting over 300. That 2015 team that we'll never forget. But 2014 Royals, you know, 19 home runs led the team. Paul DeYoung's got that. What's DeYoung at now? 19 home runs? He had eight, or is he at 21? Is he at 21?
He's eclipsed 20.
Because I know that he most of that, of course, he's got three with the Royals, but he has but even a guy like that with the power as well, he's got 21 home runs. He's got 21 home runs this year. Doesn't have the power of a Perez, doesn't have the power of Bobby Witt Jr. But this team, Renfro can, you know, hit his from time to time. Melendez, that's all that he does. If he gets out there, he hits home runs. But they'd be a fun series. Now, you can make an argument the 2015 Royals, are they as good as the 2014 Royals? I think they were better. Obviously, they were world champions. But the 2014 team did go to Game 7 of the World Series. And they had Dave Guthrie pitching that game. But they did go to the World Series that year. It's just different time and day. I get that. Are we far enough removed from it that we can make that comparison? Because I know a lot of times you look at the NFL and say, well, you know, the team today would beat that team from then. But there is some of that, you know, time and day and how much a difference it does make. Would it have made that much difference between this team and that team? Who would you take if you were asked that question? If you were asked the question of who would win a seven-game series between the 14 Royals and the 2024 Royals? Personally, I think the 24 Royals would win. And this is not just recency bias. And again, Bobby Witt Jr., 25 home runs. Perez has 22. Vinny, 18. They're all going to eclipse what the high mark was in 2014, the 19 home runs. And again, I mentioned they can steal bases too. They can do it all. Starting pitching is better. Urcig is good, but that's your one guy in the bullpen you can really trust. Lucas Urcig is that guy. You'll have him through five more years, 2029. Will he eventually be the closer? I think so. Do you think Urcig's going to be the closer eventually? As you get towards the end of the season, I 100% think that Urcig will. And he would have been in Oakland had they not had an all-star closer.
Yes. To answer your question, yes. But I don't think the Royals are going to use a traditional closer in that sense the rest of the year. I think their bullpen is spotty, so it's going to be a whatever moment is the biggest in the game is Urcig time. If that means there's runners on second and third, one out, and the number two and number three hitter are due up in the seventh inning, I think that's when you'll see Urcig. I don't know that they're going to keep him out there in the pen waiting for the ninth inning. I think they're going to do it by matchups, at least this year.
Because you have to get there.
You have to get there. I was talking to Cody about this last week. That is, with the way the Royals' bullpen is set up, that's the way to do it with Urseg. Don't just sit him out there. One of the reasons HDH was great is because you knew the 7th and 8th were locked down. So you could, you could have Holland on ice, ready to roll for the 9th. That's not the case this year. It's 3-2 in the 8th inning, and there's a runner on 2nd with one out. That's Urseg time, baby. I'm not holding him in. I'm not waiting for the 9th. I'm getting the most important outs, my best reliever. And if that means the 7, 8, and 9 hitters are facing Will Smith in the 9th inning, I'll take my chance with 7-8-9 versus Will Smith. Urseg is facing the is taking the biggest outs.
The other thing too is, do people need to stop living and dying by every game? It used to be really funny when Bob and Josh would read the Vern text from the night before. Bob and Dusty have done the same thing as well, but you know Vern, the text. If you ever looked at the text line, like when you come in, it's buried between you know two other shows before you get in. But the Vern text from the night, you ever see those?
I've worked a few post games and they
people melt down with losses.
Oh yeah.
And my thing is this is not football, man. You're going to lose. Minnesota loses some games that they shouldn't lose. They just lost one Padres shouldn't have lost. Cleveland has what a 500 record against the White Sox. I mean, teams do lose. There's not a perfect team in baseball. The Yankees went through taking their lumps this year. All teams do. It's just the more you sit back and you think, all right, the Royals are 14 games over 500. 14 games. You'd have signed up for that. And who's going to catch them? Do they have a chance to win the division? 100% they do. When you think about this gauntlet, what's Vern called? The riptide they're about to go in this 20-game stretch. You got Philly for 3, but at home, Royals are a very good home team. At Cleveland for 4, one of those a doubleheader because of that rain out earlier. Plus Cleveland comes back here. I mean, it's 7 games against a team that's 3.5 games ahead of you. Can you position yourself to 2.5 back, maybe 1.5 back before you play those series? We're going to win them all? No, but the Royals have a winning record against Cleveland this year. Houston for 4, the Royals had good luck against Houston, to be honest with you, Rob. They've played well against them. But who's going to catch them? Because I think Houston's going to win the West, so then Seattle would be that team. Well, Seattle's 6.5 games behind the Royals. We'll say the Royals didn't win the division, just were in the wild card. I think there's a great chance they could end up the second wild card over Minnesota. They're tied with them now in the division. And Minnesota still has to come to Kansas City for 3 in play, which is a big difference.
We just see this differently. And you're right. The Vern texts of the night are funny, and people melt down, and I do get a chuckle out of it. But I get a chuckle out of it in, you know, April or July or even, you know, right around the trade deadline, early August. I think there's, what, 36 games left, I believe?
36.
It's a sprint now. It's okay to be living and dying every night with the Royals.
Now, but you're not going to go 36-0.
You're not going to go 36-0. So you got to do a little scoreboard watching. And like, a night like last night, let's use an example. They lose to an Angels team they're clearly superior to. That's baseball. Like, I think sometimes people get in a football mindset, and this we agree, that you just beat all the bad teams every time. That you lose games in baseball. It's a sample size sport, big groupings. You beat the teams over a large, you know, quantity of games. That's the goal. But you lose last night. Shucks. The Twins lose last night, and I believe the Guardians lost last night. So you lost no ground. So now it's, you're back at it today. You want to win. You're
I thought Cleveland won.
May I have that wrong. Cleveland, I think, did win. But I know that Minnesota lost in San Diego.
Yeah, and they had the lead, too, towards the
late
end.
Lead. So I don't mind fans living and dying because this is what a postseason push should feel like. It shouldn't be they lose a game with 33 to go or whatever, and it's ho-hum, it's not football, I'll check the end of the week or how their last 10 go, or you know how MLB.com has the last 10 tab? You don't wait for the 10-game mark, like, oh, well, you know, they're 6-4 over their last 10. That means they gained 2 games. That's good. That's good. No, you should be, to an extent, in a playoff push, living and dying with every game. I agree with you on the whole about baseball, but with 36 games to go, no, you should start to feel that football mentality for baseball because the losses matter more and the wins matter more. You win tonight, you might be able to push another game. Maybe you jump Minnesota tonight. Now you're second place, the AL Central. Now you're holding the second wild card in the AL. That's the kind of stuff you want. It's a sprint now. I'm all for living and dying.
It's just you look at some of these teams, you think, how good are they? Again, the White Sox have played Cleveland 10 times. They're 5-5 against each other. Cleveland's 2-4 against the Royals this year. So living and dying by it is one thing, and I think that's what we do with the Royals. But sometimes you got to think back, hey, who's going to catch them? I mean, that's a question when people say, I don't know if the Royals are going to make the playoffs. I'm sitting here, well, who's going to be there? Is Boston going to get there? Boston still has the Yankees again. They're in a tough division. Got the Orioles still. I mean, it's not going to be easy for them. They're under 500 at home. Two games under 500 home. They're 10 over on the road. I get that. They're a better team on the road. We saw that happen in Kansas City. Rays aren't catching them. 6.5 back. They're not catching the Royals. The Mariners aren't going to catch the Royals. I don't think the Mariners are going to catch the Houston. I think Houston's going to win that division. Who's going to be the team that supplants them? To me, it's only the Red Sox. It's the Royals. If Cleveland wins the division, it's the Royals, the Twins, or the White Sox for the third wild card. That's it. I see those three teams and those three teams only, and those are the teams you pay attention to. Pay attention to Cleveland. Pay attention to Boston. Pay attention to Minnesota. Because it's not that much to watch. There's not that many teams. It's not like this bunch of teams bunched up there like the National League for making that last wild card, because the National League is a lot more of a mess than the American League as far as who's going to get the wild card as well. Matter of fact, we look at the National League, it's the Padres, the Diamondbacks, and the Braves right now, but the Mets is two games back. San Francisco sits at 3.5 games back. So, yeah, who's going to be that team to end up winning at the end-all be-all for teams? Coming up next, though, going to be the 5 o'clock hour. Play the hits.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.